Happy Easter from me. We just want to say we love you, Supernovas. We love what you're doing. Jesus says that all of us stuffy grown-ups need to be more like you, and Jesus is always right. So we appreciate you. The year 1969 will seem certainly like ancient history to you guys in Supernovas, and maybe even to some of us as well. But some of us at Grace Church will remember the year and this moment when Neil Armstrong, the first man ever to walk on the moon's surface, and man walked on the moon. It's an amazing achievement, amazing fact of history that humankind did that in July of 1969. But we can ask the question of that, so what? Like, it doesn't actually really make any difference to my life. I can't think of any significant way that it changes my life that happened. Now, last week, Johnny was talking about the resurrection of Jesus, and he said about how historians agree on three things. They agree that Jesus was crucified, that he was buried, and then 3 days later, there was an empty tomb, and that is agreed by all historians. If you believe anything from history, you have to really accept those three things. And Johnny looked at ways that we can explain the empty tomb, and he listed some theories, and that maybe Jesus just never actually died and he came kind of half zombie back, or maybe his body was stolen. We saw that actually all of those theories are a bit crazy and fantastical, and saw that just historically speaking, at least, there is at least a good chance that what happened is that he has risen. And just like man walking on the moon, that's an amazing fact of history, and it's worth you looking into it to see if you really want to believe it for yourself. But we can ask that same question, well, so what? What difference does it make? It's a good question to ask. What difference does the resurrection actually make to me and my life today? And that's what I'm going to look at in the next few minutes. And in order to ask that question of kind of so what about the resurrection, I want to ask you another question. And that is this. Would you say, is life a tragedy or a comedy? Is life a tragedy or a comedy? In other words, is life a sad story, or is life like a happy story? Or put another way, if life is like a tragedy, is life shaped like a frown? And it kind of goes up and things go well and you go up to the top, but then we kind of reach a peak and we have to make the most of it before we kind of come and eventually die and that's it. Or is life a comedy, and is it shaped like a smile, which you can turn that frown upside down and say, is it where everything is maybe quite tough in life, but ultimately there is hope and a future that is good and positive? This idea of life as a tragedy or as a comedy comes from a bloke called Shakespeare, who probably all of us at some point in our lives, you may not have got there yet, but we'll study at school in this country. And all of Shakespeare's plays really were either tragedies or comedies. And a tragedy would often almost always end in a funeral, in death. An example would be Romeo and Juliet, where you've got this lovely blossoming romance between them. It's all lovely, and then you think, oh no, don't, one of them's dying, don't, he's not actually dead, no, and they're all dead, and that's the end, and it's a tragedy. It shapes like a frown. Now, comedies in Shakespeare, they weren't necessarily funny, although they maybe were, but really they were called comedies because they were defined by being shaped like a smile, and they would often end in a marriage and a reunion, and they go badly initially, but then things are restored. When I was at school, I studied The Merchant of Venice, which is a comedy, and it has that kind of arc of a story. And I remember our teacher saying to us, this is a comedy, this bit, and so remember, this is a moment when people would have laughed at this story. And I just remember thinking, well, if you have to tell us that it's funny, It's just not funny. Surely that's how it works. But what do I know? Shakespeare's better than me. With that definition, though, of tragedy and comedy, all Disney films, really all kids' films, are comedies because they are shaped like a smile. I love Disney films. The reality is they all follow exactly the same path. They kind of set the scene and then disaster hits and it's all looking not great. But then by the end, restoration comes and the smile is complete. I've actually realized watching Disney films with my kids over the last few years that pretty much all Disney films start by a parent or a guardian of some kind dying. And that is the downward trajectory. If you think about it, Frozen is that, Moana is that with the grandma. You got Lion King, which is, I think is my favorite of them all. Onward is another one, which a new one is, you watch that, it's a good one actually. I remember watching The Good Dinosaur with my eldest, and I don't know, he must have been 3 at the time, and another Disney film, probably not so well known. But we were watching it, and it was all lovely, just me and him, and there was a moment, and the little dinosaur, the Apatosaurus, and his daddy dinosaur were just walking along, and it was all lovely. I just needed a wee, so I went to the toilet and came back downstairs, and clearly there'd been a change in the film, and it was in the midst of a thunderstorm, and I didn't know where the daddy dinosaur was. And it was all a bit, oh no, I didn't go to the toilet at the right time. And then a few minutes later, Zeph just looked up to me and said, Where's the daddy gone? I'm like, oh, I'm not sure. And I wasn't quite ready to talk about death at that point in his life. But we also know with Disney films, the restoration always comes at the end. And actually, it's often through a kind of Christ-like sacrifice, just like the rest of Hollywood, really. That's all kids' film. Grown-up films start to include tragedies. The Titanic is a classic example. Spoiler alert, the Titanic doesn't end well. And it's really similar to Romeo and Juliet. And it's all lovely, this kind of unlikely relationship, and it's all going great. And then, you know, we know what happens. Death at the end. And sadness. Now, why am I going on about this for so long and talking about these tragedies and comedies and just frowns and smiles? I'm answering why the resurrection matters. The truth of the resurrection determines whether life for all of us is a tragedy and shaped like a frown, or whether it's a comedy and shaped like a smile. And if the resurrection is true, it changes from being what would be tragic into joy. So let's take one at a time. Is life a tragedy? Now, the secular worldview says essentially, yeah, it is. This is all there is. And the best way to peak in this life is just to get the best of it, to enjoy it, have as good or successful a life as you can, because the drop-off is an inevitability. It's a matter of time. Honest atheists say, like it or not, life is tragic. Lawrence Krauss is one such guy, and he very honestly says this from his perspective: the picture that science presents us with is uncomfortable, because what we've learned is that we are more insignificant than we ever could have imagined. And in addition, it turns out that the future is miserable. Happy Easter, Lawrence Krauss. That is the situation if there is no resurrection, if Jesus is not alive. Now, there's two ways that we can respond to that way of thinking. We either just kind of lump it. Well, it is what it is. I guess we just make the best of it. That's essentially what Lawrence Krauss is doing. Or more commonly, we can try to put a positive spin on it. And we say things like, YOLO, YOLO, and, you know, you only live once, or carpe diem, seize the day, previous generation may have said. You have things like 1,001 things to do before you die. And we're just trying to say, right, just make the most of it. Life right now is as good as it gets, so make the best of it before the inevitable drop-off. Now, I get it. I understand why people try and think that way of life. But, kids, listen up. YOLO is a tragic way to look at life and living. There's no way to respond to it that is good. You just say, You only live once, we're all going to die, so let's have so much fun as we can. Oh, it's not a good way to live at all. Glenn Scrivener, who I got much of the idea for this message, he summarizes this way of looking at the world by saying this: we are the flotsam of a cosmic explosion and biological survival machines. We are wet robots clinging to an insignificant rock, that is the Earth, hurling through a meaningless universe towards eternal extinction. Still, all that being said, the new flavored latte from Starbucks is incredible. And have you tried hot yoga? We're renovating the kitchen too, so, you know, that's nice. As the annihilating tsunami of time bears down on us, we obsess over our sandcastles, the promotion, the holiday, the new gadget, and we dare not look up. Maybe that's how you view life. It is a tragedy. Either we lump it and just say, well, that's what it is, or we live it up as much as we can, always aware of the inevitable and depressing downfall that is just around the corner. Here's a little video of an experiment that was played on some kids to illustrate the situation of life if life is a tragedy.
I got to see you one last time.
No, no. Please don't leave me.
Was that a good ending?
No.
A slightly cruel, but also I think pretty funny experiment there, and also a very interesting one. Don't worry, part two of that video is to follow in a few minutes' time. But with no resurrection, that is a picture of life. Things might go well for a bit, maybe, if you're lucky, but eventually, death and sadness. But, right, Johnny showed us last week that the chances are, historically speaking, there is a resurrection and Jesus did rise again. Not only is it probably true historically, but it also changes absolutely everything about human life. If it is true, life is a comedy and shaped like a smile. Here is Leah from Energize reading some verses from John's Gospel that present the Christian perspective.
Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me."
Thank you, Liv. The Christian message is upside down to all other messages and ways of looking at the world. If you want to live, you come and die. You go down in order to come back up again. This is how nature works, actually. I feel this is kind of my magic wall here. I'm going to producer plants. This is a tomato plant. I don't know if you can see that at all remotely well. And this just is a single seed that has gone into this little bit of soil. And in order for a seed to produce life, it has to go down into the soil and die. And if it die, it not only produces life for itself again, but ultimately for potentially hundreds of tomatoes, and then not to mention how many seeds there'll be in all of those hundreds of tomatoes. I love seeing spring. I feel like particularly this year, it's just amazing to see all the colour come. What's happening all around us is that death has occurred, and it has led to an abundance of new life and colour and hope. It's a parable that Jesus tells. It's in a parable of what Jesus has done. He has died, but he has also risen and brought new life, not just for himself, but for countless others as well. He gave his life up and ultimately found it and brought life for billions of others. It's not just the shape of life is a smile, but the shape of Christianity is a smile. Christianity, you know, makes no claims that life will be easy. If you're in Supernovas or Energized, hear that for a moment. It's not promising that the life of a Christian is going to be easy. The call to be a Christian is a call to come and spiritually die, to lay your life down. Life might get hard, but if there's no resurrection, then this hard life is as good as it gets. We are actually at the pinnacle. But in Christianity, the opposite is true, and we are at the lowest point of the curve in this life. What's next is an upward trajectory, up and up and up to life. That is Christianity. Think about all biographies you've ever read or looked at before. They're all shaped like a frown. Whether that's, you know, a sportsman, Wayne Rooney or something, and he bursts onto the scene at an early age, doesn't really well, and becomes England's top goal scorer, I think. Did he break that? Simo, give me a nod. Did he ever break it? Anyway, had a great career, and then eventually, you know, plummets down and player manager at Derby County. Or it's Mother Teresa and has an amazing life, and a really godly woman, but eventually comes down. Things go well up and up, but then they go less well and they die. The life of and the biography of Jesus is uniquely different and opposite. Think about Jesus for a moment. We know of him, he was in very nature God. But he didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified and dead and buried. But he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose again and ascended to heaven. And God has exalted him now to the highest place, to the name that is above every other name. And one day he'll come back to judge the living and the dead. That is the life of Christ. The story of the whole Bible is the same. It's shaped like a smile. In the beginning it was great, God and man together. Man made a mess of things, mankind, and ruined our relationship with God. You've got Israel in exile, people far from God. But then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he gave himself for the life of the world. And he's not just restoring our relationship, he's restoring the whole of creation to himself. The story of the Bible is an amazing smile. Just like the life of Jesus, just like the story of the Bible, because he has risen, life is a comedy and shaped like a smile. In this world, the life that you lead now is as good as it gets, right? And getting older is a downward trajectory. You know, you just youth is the pinnacle. YOLO, you're just getting closer to death. In Christianity, the opposite is true. Death is defeated. He takes us with him to life. The closer we are to death, the closer we are to true life with him. And the more you give up your life now, the more you will find it now and into the future. My wife Liz and I, we have drilled into our kids that goodies always win, because and all the things they're watching, that's true. And told them that whatever they are watching is shaped like a smile. They're not watching the Titanic yet. So they know if they're watching something, if it's sad now, if they don't like what's going on right now, hey, don't worry, because the upward turn must be just around the corner. Christianity has an answer to suffering and pain and difficulty unlike any other worldview. We know it's hard now. We know we're at the depth. There are joys, yeah, but life can be hard. And maybe that's where you're at right now, and life is hard, and you're thinking, man, if this is as good as it gets, then that is tragic. Other worldviews have no answer, but Christianity explains and gives hope to our struggles. Life is ultimately shaped like a smile, and we are in the dip. What that means is the same thing I'll say to my kids, is, hey, don't worry, because the upward turn is just around the corner. Life is like that. If the resurrection is made up, the Bible is clear, Christians are to be pitied above all. It would mean that this is the low point and we're waiting for the upward turn, but it's not coming and it's only going to get worse as we lead to death. But Christ has risen. Death is not the end. The resurrection matters. Why? Because it changes literally everything. It turns life from a tragedy where this is the high point and it's all downhill from here to a comedy where this is the low point and it's all up and up and up from here. The upward turn is just around the corner. And the more we lose our lives, the more we give to Jesus, the more we gain. The more we die to this life, the more we live in and with him. Here's part two of that video.
Was that a good ending?
No.
No.
Ending in films that you watch.
They ended happy, not with violence.
When they don't,
they feel very happy. Have the happy ending. They get married. They become best friends. They make everyone feel happy. They don't feel sad because it's not sad. You can't have a good story without a good ending, otherwise it'll just make it bad.
What did it make you feel when you watched the second bit?
Embarrassed. For the kiss.
How is it like the Easter story?
He dies and then he rises again and everything is happy.
Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. Because of Easter, the story ends with a wedding and a dance and a celebration. The resurrection makes all the difference. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and it changes everything. It might be that you are not totally convinced on the resurrection. Hopefully, these last couple of weeks have made it clear that certainly could be true. It's worth researching a bit. Not just because it's interesting, like, you know, man walking on the moon, but because it could be true. And if it was, it would change everything. And surely you want it to be true. I know, I'm not saying it doesn't take a lot. It takes a lot to redefine your life and the way you look at the world. No one ever does that on a whim. It takes a big thing, but do explore it. Do explore the possible truth of the resurrection. Maybe you're a little bit further down the line and you're pretty convinced. Maybe you are ready to lay your life down. You're convinced it's true and you want in on this happy story. We would just love to hear from you, to chat it through with you, to walk with you on your journey. If you know any Christian people, then do chat to them about where you're at on that. I'll finish in a moment. I just want to talk for a moment to Supernovas and Energize as well. So parents, if they, you know, wandered off, just get them back. I can give you 10 seconds to do that. I just want to talk to them for 10 seconds, for 15 seconds or so, and I'm talking for 10 seconds or so. While you do that and get your kids, I want to talk to them. I've got a message I want to say to them. Right, that'll do. Supernovas, Energize, I want to talk to you. I wonder if any of you are there now, today, where you are ready to lay your life down, to say to Jesus, I give you my life, I lay it down, I offer it that I might find it again. To say to Jesus, I love you, I recognize that life is in you. I want to lay my life down and find my life in you. Just please chat to your parent or guardian or a grown-up that you know. Say, I want to do that. I want to lay my life down. I want to go into the bottom of the curve of the smile, knowing that Jesus will give me new life again. Thank you. You're done. Right, I'm going to pray for all of us. Jesus, we worship you, our risen Savior. We do believe that Christ is risen. We believe it changes everything. We believe it means we have hope. We believe it means there is an upward turn just around the corner. And we rejoice at you. We love you, Jesus. We say we lay our lives down. We lose our lives. We come and die that we might rise with you and in you to eternal life with the Father in a new heaven and new earth. We love you. We rejoice in you. I ask, pour your Spirit on us to stir us to give our lives to you even more, knowing that is where life in all its fullness is found. We love you, King Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again.